He's a columnist for the Register Guard, usually found on the front page of the sports section. Today, he's on the front page of the entire paper. Catch up online. Visit registerguard.com. On Twitter, Austin Meek, RG. Austin, how are things?
Hey, Steve. Things are good. How are you doing?
Good. You know, I had a pretty crazy morning. I was running around, and then I texted you, and what should we talk about? And all of a sudden, you're like, well, you might want to check the cover of the paper. And I'll tell you what, until then, I don't know if I wasn't paying attention to social media as usual. But for folks who are kind of catching up, what happened with USA Track and Field, which led to Vin Lenana being placed on, I guess, temporary administrative leave?
Well, it's a complicated story. You know, when you get into this track and field stuff, it's hard to explain anything without going into about 10 minutes of background. I'll try to give you the most concise version that I can. So most people are aware that there have been reports that this federal investigation is going on into track and field, into the IAAF, into the awarding of the 2021 World Championships to Eugene. So far, you know, up until recently, Tracktown and Eugene had been able to kind of distance itself from that. But lately, the pressure has been intensifying a little bit locally, partly because a couple weeks ago there was a story in the New York Times saying that grand jury subpoenas had been issued related to this investigation. So, you know, we're talking about a federal investigation here, the Justice Department. It's not just an NCAA thing. You know, this is the big boys getting involved. So it's kind of a big deal. And there were a lot of questions about Tracktown's involvement in that and Vin Lenana and whether they had been contacted as part of this investigation. Now, I haven't seen any evidence that Tracktown did anything wrong. There's been speculation, there's been suspicion, but I haven't seen anybody make any credible claim and back it up with evidence that Tracktown did anything wrong. So that's not really the discussion at this point. It's more a question of, have they been contacted by the feds? Are they cooperating? Are they part of this investigation? And it wasn't just, you know, the public and the media that was asking this question. Part of this story is USA Track and Field, which Vin Lenana serves as president, had been asking those questions too, and determined that yes, Tracktown had been contacted, which Tracktown had not acknowledged. So after determining that, USA Track and Field, the board of directors voted to put Vin Lenana on administrative leave until the Department of Justice investigation is resolved. And, you know, anybody who's familiar with USATF knows that there's a lot of politics there. It's traditionally been an organization that's kind of had trouble getting out of its own way. That may be part of this, too. But it's just a complicated story, and we haven't heard the end of it, I don't think.
You know, with a case like this, is there any logic to, I mean, we generally deal with players if there's an allegation, and sometimes the program will dig in and be a little more defiant. So in a case like this, does it make more sense to maybe respect the investigation, maybe take a little time out, and maybe not necessarily till the air is cleared, but maybe clearer?
Well, I do think it's true that when you're talking about a federal investigation, there are attorneys advising attorneys advising attorneys about what you can and can't say about it. And Tracktown has definitely erred on the side of caution in terms of not wanting to say anything about what's going on, and I understand that. But there's also another side of that, which is that you know, Tracktown has a lot of constituents, people who have invested a lot in track and field in this community, in hosting the world championships. So to the extent that they're able to keep people informed about what's going on, I think there is a responsibility to do that. So it's a fine line between, you know, respecting the process of the investigation and not commenting on things that you really are not supposed to comment on, but also keeping the stakeholders apprised. And I think, if anything, Tracktown has maybe erred on the side of releasing too little information versus being as transparent as possible within the boundaries of what they've been instructed to do.
All righty. Talking with Austin Mika, the Register Guard. Moving to what's happening in South Korea. Personally, I'm kind of a downhill curling, figure skating, kind of hockey fan, a little bit of a geek sometimes. How would you describe your level of engagement in the current Winter Olympics?
Oh, boy. This is where I, again, out myself as not really being a great sports fan. My level of engagement with the Olympics, on a scale of 1 to 10, going to say it's about a 2. And I owe that mostly to my wife, who likes to watch it. The other night I was falling asleep on the couch. I had the basketball game on. She said, "Can we watch the Olympics?" I said, "You want me to go to sleep right now? Because if you do, we can turn on the Olympics." That's where I am.
All right. That's a great answer. What are you kidding me? Let's move to Oregon basketball. This past weekend, the Southern California schools, the women, a lot of drama and overtimes and 7,000 people last night. But in general, I was here during the Jody Runge era into Bev Smith when this program was well supported. Then there came a dip. How remarkable is it, not only the on-court turnaround, but the spark lit within our community by Kelly Graves and his people in less than 4 years?
Yeah, I think it's really remarkable. It's been an incredible turnaround, and it's happened in a pretty short amount of time. As I wrote today, for some reason, this game sticks out in my mind. I don't know why. I covered an Oregon women's game the last year of the Paul Westhead era. It was President's Day. It was a Monday afternoon. It was just a miserable day. It was rainy. It was cold. And I think there had to be, I looked up the official attendance. It said there were 900 people there. I don't believe that. I think there were about 500 people there. And I just remember sitting there and thinking, wow, Oregon just doesn't really have anything going in women's basketball. And so it's crazy to think that 4 years later, we saw the kind of scene that unfolded last night with the crowd and ESPN and two top 10 teams, a great game that went to overtime. That was everything Oregon hoped that women's basketball could be, but they just were so far away from that just a few years ago. It's really remarkable how quickly they've built that program up and created a culture around that program of a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah, it's an amazing rise. When you consider circumstance, elite conference, stretch run, Pac-12 lead in the balance, ESPN in town, holding that up as a contrast to what you just talked about, is it accuracy or hyperbole to call last night maybe like one of the biggest home game in program history?
I think it's both. I think it's a little bit of hyperbole, but I think it's also rooted in truth. I didn't go back and go through every game of the Jody Runge era to see what the biggest games were. You probably remember some of those. I know you remember weird things from a long time ago, but it was as good as any atmosphere, men or women, that I've seen at Matthew Knight Arena. You know, yeah, they had the curtain up on the top row, but the lower bowl was totally full. The crowd was into it. You know, it was loud in there. It was as good an atmosphere and as good a game as I've seen at Matthew Knight Arena in the time I've been here, for sure.
You know, for folks who aren't aware, until last year, this program had only made the second round of the tournament 5 times, and last under Bev in 05. But you look at this roster, only Lexi among the regulars is leaving, Justine Hall. You know, with this foundation, more high-level talent on the way, this year after last year, I mean, what's your confidence level that this is kind of going to be the norm rather than the exception?
Yeah, I think when I wrote today that it feels like they've arrived, that's kind of how I was feeling, that it was just big. It's bigger than one game. You know, it's bigger than one season or one team. It feels like this is what women's basketball is going to be at Oregon for as long as Kelly Graves is there, or maybe it's just a window into the beginning of what it's going to be. You know, maybe it's going to be even better than this. You know, maybe there will be days in the future where instead of 7,000 fans, we're talking about 10,000 fans. I think Oregon could do that. I don't think we've seen yet the ceiling for what women's basketball can be here. So I think they're only going to get better. And, you know, every time you have a moment like that, a big game where the crowd shows up and is rewarded with such an exciting finish like that, it just builds the momentum. So I think they're only going to continue going up from here.
Couple final thoughts for Austin Meek of the Register Guard. Onto the men's program. Man, that series down in SoCal, that was like an Ali 1-2 punch combo. They don't have any top 25 wins, three top 50, tied for seventh in a league that's probably going four deep for the tournament. Have we reached the time where we're like, win the Pac-12 tournament or go to the NIT?
I think we're basically there. Now, if they win their last four regular season games and they get to the Pac-12 title game, then maybe we're talking about Oregon having an argument. But realistically, what have we seen from this team the last 3 months to suggest that that's going to happen?
Right.
They haven't been able to string together three good games in a row, from my viewpoint. So asking them to do six or seven is a lot. I do think that realistically, they're pretty much down to the point where they do have to win the Pac-12 tournament to get in. You know, they're just kind of where they've been the whole season. They're just not able to put it together for more than a game or two in a row.
You know, while a lot of fans might be disappointed, and there are probably people like me who figured, hey, give this coach and this staff 12 guys with some talent, they'll find a way in. But considering what they lost from the greatest team in program history, could we see that, you know, the big picture moving forward is still solid? Or, man, a couple of key plays here and there really could have been different.
Well, I think it's both. I think, yes, you do feel good about what the future is going to be like. This season does not make me say, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm suddenly not sure where this program is headed under Dana Altman. I feel good about the future. The recruiting class they have, the foundation they've built, I think they're going to be okay. But I do think there's a conversation about what kind of team do you want to be in your down years? You know, because we've seen what Oregon is in the up years. When everything comes together, they're a program that can get to the Final Four. That's a great place to be. But, you know, the really good programs, in their down years, they still make the tournament. They're still pretty good in their down years. Looks like Oregon's going to miss the tournament this year. Hey, it's not very many schools that are in the tournament every year. Kansas and North Carolina and Duke and a few others. Most schools in their down years are going to miss the tournament. So that's where Oregon is. Not a terrible place to be. But I do think there were some people who after last year were saying, okay, Oregon's one of those teams now that you just pencil them in the tournament every year. Obviously, they're not quite there right now.
Yeah, well, you know, last year Syracuse and Indiana were in the NIT. It's pretty blue blood programs.
Yep.
Folks, he's Austin Meek of the Register Guard online. RegisterGuard.com, on Twitter, at AustinMeekRG. Great stuff as always, Austin. Always appreciate you getting our Tuesday off and rolling, and we'll catch up soon.
All right. Hey, Steve, you didn't even ask me about Eric Hosmer signing with the Padres. I appreciate that. You didn't even rub any salt in the wound.
Sorry, I was running out of time, and I figured that's the last thing you needed.
That was nice of you.
All right. It happens to us Jersey people by accident occasionally. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Austin.
Right.
Take it easy. Hazy to the Bucks.